Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our sermon series, Simple Church. Last week we looked at the importance of regular worship in becoming the disciple Jesus wants us to be. This week we look at how important continual spiritual growth is to being the effective disciple that Jesus demands of us. Many believe that going to church is enough and that spiritual growth just happens. Throughout the New Testament we see statements like this about continuing to grow as a Christian. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. All scripture is God-breathed so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Continue to work out your salvation in order to fulfill his good purpose. And finally, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. How do we continue to grow as a Christian? We learn to pray and read scripture and give of our resources and time regularly. When we do this, we grow mature as Christians. My little grandson just started kindergarten. Each year from now on, he will change grades and learn more and more each year. As our girls grew, we measured them on a large ruler. We've marked the date and put their name next to it. It's the same with us spiritually. We have to continue to grow spiritually and have a way of checking on our progress. If we don't, Peter says, we'll be ineffective, unproductive, blind, and forgetful of the grace Jesus has shown us. We'll look at some of the ways this morning to put into practice some spiritual growth habits so we become the disciple Jesus wants us to be. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for listening.
Stand and get ready to worship together this morning. Let us worship in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few."
Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.
Let's pray together as one family this morning. Jesus, our Savior, thank you for giving up everything for us and making us your people. Live within us and teach us to follow you without counting the cost. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Praise God this morning. O Lord, open our lips.
Special music this morning is "I Can Only Imagine," sung by the young folks of our church, from little kids all the way through our senior high members.
My eyes will
Brad Frederick reads our scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Simple Church, Connecting Through Worship.
The first scripture lesson comes from the book of John, chapter 4, verses 19 to 24. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for which the Father seeks to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Here ends the first lesson. Second lesson is the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith which God has assigned him. For as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Here ends the second lesson.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you, choir. We're starting a new sermon series called Simple Church, and I've been working on this really since January and February. You will see in the back when you walk out, we created just some little cards here. On one side is all of our activities by day. We're getting ready to start, you know, the fall, the school year, lots of activities like everybody has. But on the other side, we're going to be hearing a lot about this over the next several months and hopefully for years to come, about how do we accomplish why we come to church. What's the purpose of being a Christian? Is it just to come here, fill the pew up for a few, you know, for a little bit on Sunday, you know, and then go through our act and then come back again on Sunday, do the same thing over and over and over again? What's the point of all that we're working here for as a church? And I'd encourage each one as you walk out this morning to pick up one of these cards, because you're going to hear these five terms over and over about how do we assess where we're at spiritually. Are we growing? Are we doing what God wants us to do as a church and individually? Jesus told us real clearly what he thought the purpose of the church was. Go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. That was kind of his mission to us and to the church. If you see our signs as you come in church from different angles, you see our motto: biblical, Christ-centered, compassionate. I like all three of those. If we live out all three of those, we're going to make a difference in our community. People will know that God is alive and Jesus is alive at this church. Have you looked to know what our mission as a church is? You'll see it on the card here, and you'll see it on our website: to guide people of all backgrounds into a personal relationship with Jesus. We want to love God, love people, and make disciples for Jesus. Boy, that sounds really good. Man, that's real good. How do we accomplish that, though? I mean, is that just kind of we hope that when you show up for church or you come to Sunday school or you come on Wednesday nights that this will just happen kind of magically? Or do we kind of have a plan and a purpose? And that's what this little card is about, and that's what we're going to try to emphasize. Everything that we have at our church, we're going to rotate around these five themes. First one we're going to look at in depth this morning: connecting through regular worship. Now, I've got three cars. We've got three cars. And each one of my cars, there's a warning light on in each one of the three cars. All right? And so how do we tell what's going on in our spiritual life? Do we have a dashboard that kind of pops up a warning sign to let us know, hey, maybe we need to be paying attention to our spiritual status right now? Are things going the way that they need to? Or do we need to give attention to that? And I want you to pick up one of these cards here because you're going to hear these five themes, and I want you to put them on your refrigerator or put them on your desk. You're going to hear the theme today, connecting through worship. We want to make sure that we are regularly in worship together. We'll talk more about that. Number two, grow. We want to make sure that we're growing spiritually through prayer, through Bible study, through, you know, through fellowship with one another. And that's the third one, love and fellowship. We want you to be part of some small group at our church, Wednesday night meals, the choirs, our women's guild, our men's brotherhood, Sunday school, all these different activities that we have there. Fourth, we want you to find your place to serve in our congregation. We want you to use your unique talents and abilities to let God bless you and use you and see Him at work in your life. We want you to find that place. If we don't have the ministry that God's blessed you with, we want you to start that ministry because we want you to feel God working in your life. And the last one, as we grow, we want to make sure that we are able to share with those around us, to make disciples. We want to be able that we can share our testimony with them and tell them why we love Jesus, why we believe in Jesus, why we think that Jesus has our eternity, you know, in His security. And we would like for you to follow Jesus too. And we'd like to grow in that so we could then continue to make disciples. And as we grow in this, everything that we do is going to be centered around those things so that we are growing and then we're not staying still or stagnant. I drove across Splice Creek yesterday. We went out and showed my friend Jeff some of the hunting places and went out, a family out off of Splice Creek. Right now, Splice Creek is pretty low. There's stagnant pools that are there. Just they're not flowing. Nothing's coming in. Nothing's going out. And I feel that happens a lot of time in our spiritual lives. We're just kind of stagnant. We're there. We got some moisture, but nothing's coming in really, and nothing's going out. And so this morning, when we look at the first here, the first one that we want to look at is connecting with God through our worship, regular group worship together. And that it's a basis for everything that we have for us to grow in our faith. And I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to read verses 19 to 25. And I want you to see what they say about what brings true spiritual worship for us. He says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, being in God's presence, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I don't know if this happens to you as you read Scripture over and over again. You may have read a passage multiple times, but you, when you read it the next time, something leaps out at you that you didn't, it didn't, you know, click in your mind the first time. And that happened as I prepared this sermon this morning. We see there in verses 22, 23, and 24, he uses the phrase, let us draw near. Let us encourage one another. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we all profess. He said, let us. We worship together. Why is worship important? I'm going to give you a homework assignment. They're really small chapters. The last four chapters of Psalms, 147, 148, 149, 150. Look how many times, I'm just going to read one. 149, the first verse of chapter 149 from Psalms. Look what he says about praising and worshiping together. "Praise the Lord. Sing the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of His faithful people." See, it's good to praise God together. There's a power when we come into the presence of God together. We do need our alone time, and we'll talk about that here in a moment. But there's power when we come into the presence of God because that's where we meet God. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also." We read in Hebrews chapter 10, when we approach Him, when we draw near to Him with a sincere heart, it's where we meet God. We see Him working in our lives. We see the love of people around us. But I'll have somebody say to me, "Well, I don't need to worship. I can worship by myself." I can worship on the creek bank. I can worship in the tree stand. I can identify with those. I've been on both places. And it's important that we have alone time. We see Jesus go off by himself and pray. We see Elijah go off by himself into a cave. But that is not the most providential way. That is not the best way. The only way for us to have worship. We've got to have time together to worship and praise God as one. Many in this room have had children or grandchildren that participate in activities at school or during the summer, in all kinds of different athletic activities. There's a time to practice by yourself. I remember when Dad laid the asphalt for my basketball court there. Before, it was gravel and it was hard to dribble and make the ball so it wouldn't bounce crazy. So he got it laid out in asphalt so I'd have a place to play. And I'd go out there and practice all the time. And I needed to work on my left hand, so I was a right-hander. I want to be able to strong with my left hand to dribble as much as my right. And the way that I would know that when I got done was if I looked at my hands because of the asphalt, my hands would be black. And if my left hand was as black as my right hand, it knew that I was working as much on my left as my right. We need that individual time to practice. But I don't know how successful your volleyball teams would be, or how successful your football teams would be, or your basketball teams, or our softball teams would be, if all we did was practice individually and then just showed up on game day. We got to have that time when we're together as one, to learn each other's weaknesses, to learn each other's strengths, to encourage one another when things are tough or difficult. When we get teams together, what's the last thing that they do before they go out onto the court or onto the field? I saw it at the volleyball game on Thursday night. What's the last thing that you guys do before you go out onto the court, Lauren? You get in a huddle and what? What do you guys chant before you go out there? Do you say, "Let's go, Pintos"? Pretty standard. You can move that to any team. But you guys get in the huddle, you put your hands in there, you say, "Let's go, Pintos." Then they go out in the court and you guys dominate. Does the softball team get in the huddle before they go out too, Grace? I bet you the football team does it, don't they, Chris? Get into a huddle? Guys, this is our huddle. This is our time when we all get together and we encourage one another. We lift each other up. We see each other. I will guarantee you the people watching online, a lot of them can't be here. I see one every week. Martha Decker. Martha would love to be in this midst right now. She tells me that every time. She's having leg and she's having foot problems. She can't get here on Sunday, and so she watches it online. She watches the DVD that we drop off. I would tell you the majority of people watching online right now would trade anything to be right here so they could see your face, so they could hug you, so they could touch you, so they could hear you and see you and hear your words to encourage them. There's a power. And there's an encouragement that comes when we worship together. That's why it's the basis of our discipleship here. There's got to be that time when we come together in the huddle. We get our instructions. Tells us what to do so we can go out on the field and execute whatever play. Injuries are going to happen. Penalties are going to happen. Mistakes are going to happen. But then we've got our coach. We've got our teammates to be right there to pick us up. That's what we do on Sunday. We meet with the presence. And if you're not meeting regularly in congregational worship together and praising God together, you're missing that time. I know when I do a fire or I do a barbecue, I don't spread out the coals to get the most heat. I spread out the coals, why? To put the fire out. I put the coals together to get the most heat, the most warmth. And when we separate ourselves from the worship on Sunday morning, we're separating ourselves from that warmth. We're separating ourselves from that love and that encouragement. I see you all post things on Facebook. I post things on Facebook. I see people post honest struggles that they're having, and people encourage them. They'll put the little emojis there, the I care one, or the, is there a teddy bear too? I don't know. There's all kinds of different emojis there to let people know that you're caring about their status. But nothing replaces a hug. Nothing replaces a personal word where you can see right in their eyes and say, "I've been through the same thing you've been through, and you will make it because I'm praying for you. And not only me, but I got this whole other group of team members that are praying for you too." Why is worship important? Because that's where we come into the presence of God. Why is worship important? Because God deserves it, and He demands our worship. And the reason that you woke up this morning is God blessed us with the sun. He blessed us with the environment we have. We've all got struggles and things that we're going through. But we've got God on our side. And no matter what we have going on in our lives, we can praise Him for being the strength and encouragement that we need. But how do we make worship a priority? We need to find time every day to thank God and worship Him individually. I love this verse in Hebrews chapter 11. It's one that just kind of sticks out. It doesn't make a lot of sense. That's how come it's always kind of stuck in my mind, and it's always been one that I've been reminded of. Chapter 11, that roll call of the faithful, Noah, Moses, all the famous ones. But there's one verse in there, verse 21. You might underline it. You might highlight it. He says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. I'm trying to picture the scene. Jacob is dying. He's blessing his grandchildren, but then he still worships, leaning on his staff. Picture that. No music, no organ, no piano, no lyre, no trumpet, but he still worshiped. You know, I think what was going on there? Jacob was looking back through his life at all the failures, and there was a lot of them, all the struggles, and he was thanking God for how God had still used him anyway. He was looking back over his whole life, knowing his life was almost over, and wondering if he had fulfilled what God wanted him to do, and he worshiped. He thanked God for using him. How can we do that? Maybe that's when we get out of the tractor after we've cut hay or we've cut corn or we've harvested whatever crop. We get out and we worship God, thanking Him for the opportunity. Maybe it's when you put your head down at night, when you put your head on your pillow, and you say your prayers for your daughters or your children that are not with you. There are other places around the country. Maybe it's when you're driving home and your hands are on the steering wheel, and you're looking into the sunset as you're coming home after a long day, and it's been a hard day. It's been a tough day. But you can worship God by saying thank you. We make worship a priority when we make it part of our everyday life. Another way we make worship a priority is we go against the grain. Look at Romans chapter 12 one more time, those first two verses. I've given you a lot of homework this week, but put these two verses in your mind and let it soak for this week. Try to see what it has to do with worship. He says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. He says, you be separated from God. You should be separated from God, but because of Christ, of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Again, he didn't mention anything about instruments and choirs. Our choirs are wonderful. They add to our worship. But there's got to be something more. Look at verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. What I'm saying there, go against the grain. There are so many things that are trying to take our time away from this time on Sunday. What would happen if you just said no once to the world's demands? The things that the world are saying that are important for you, your family, your children, the things that take you away from regular worship. Would the world stop spinning? I don't think so. Man, there's a lot of peer pressure out there for us to be involved in other activities other than Sunday worship. Sunday worship doesn't make you a Christian no more than going to McDonald's makes me a hamburger. I've heard that one for years. But it is an indicator of where our spiritual maturity is at. He tells us right here, go against the grain. Don't be conformed to the pattern. Be transformed. Make a difference. Let people see that, you know, I'm going to say no to that activity. I'm going to say no to that event. I'm taking my family to church on Sunday. That'll make an eternal impact on your family and the people around you. We get involved in so many different activities that it clutters our mind, it clutters our development, and we can't hear God's voice. He said in Romans 12 there, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Our life is full of so many things that we can't even hear. We're so cluttered with stuff. The title of this series is Simple Church. We're in the business of making disciples. And we're going to get serious about it. We're going to focus on it. And one thing that we've got to do is we've got to go against the grain. And then the last thing about how we make worship a priority, we worship God with our heart, our soul, and our mind. We stop going through the motions. We stop punching the clock. We come to church ready to worship, asking Him to open our hearts and our minds to His Spirit, to what He has to say to me today. And for everything that we can, we're putting out of our minds what we're going to have for lunch in 30 minutes, okay? I want to say, God, work on me today. Is there something in my life that needs to be addressed? Is there something that needs to be spoken to? Is there someone I need to encourage today? Come to church ready to worship. Jesus told him, He says, these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Look at that verse again up in chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near to God with what? A sincere heart. A full assurance that faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled and cleansed means forgiven. Jesus' blood applied to it. Having our bodies washed with pure water. Obeying Him in the commandment, the sacrament of baptism. Come to our hearts prepared and ready. And let us hold unswervingly to that hope. And let us think about how we can spur each other on for love and good deeds. See, I could motivate by fear. I could say, man, if you're not on church on Sundays, man, you know, I'm worried about your eternal destiny. I could motivate by reward. I could say, man, if you're here next Sunday, I'll give everybody a Snickers candy bar. That may increase. I could ask Connie to lead God singers every Sunday. All right. I could do that. That could be one way to do it. But the motivation that's the most powerful is the internal personal motivation that comes from each one of us. I come to worship because I love God. And I love His people and I want to be around them. This week I want you to evaluate your life. Be honest. This includes your preacher. What's keeping you from regular worship? List those things down on and then list those things keeping you from regular worship. Are those things really that important? What's more important? Eternal destiny? Development, spiritual development of myself and my family? Or some activity that if you weren't there, they'd just fill in with somebody else? Evaluate that. When that first warning light came on, it gave me pause. And I went and I checked. I wanted to make sure there was nothing wrong. I still check with my mechanic on my one with my escape to make sure that we're still on the same page. When that blinking light comes on, we need to pay attention to it. The first step for us is to make sure that we're making Sunday worship a priority for ourselves and for those around us. There's a time for us now to rededicate ourselves and say, this is where I want to be, and I want this church to make an eternal difference. Father, it's been good to be in your house. Thank you, Father, for this worship. It's exciting. It's encouraging. It's uplifting. When we're hurting, we walk in, we're surrounded by this. It lifts our spirits. It lets people know that they care about us. That happens when we look people in the eye, we put a pat on their back, we ask them really how they're doing, and we wait for the answer. And then we tell them that we're praying for them and that we check on them through the week, Father. That's worship. It's just not music. It's us interacting in our lives on a daily basis with you and those around us so we can fulfill the mission of love God and love others and make disciples. Thank you for this wonderful day and everybody that made it possible. I pray that you'd have our blessings. Keep people safe as they travel. This is a big travel weekend. Be it those families that have lost loved ones, be it those ones that are going through treatments right now that are very hard on their systems, and encourage them, lift them up, and Father, just let them know that you're with them every step. We ask this all in your name. Amen.